This third Sunday of Easter, we see again how we fail to recognize Jesus, our risen Lord. We see this across our readings. We see this for the disciples as they struggle to recognize that Jesus has come before them in the flesh and not as some ghost. We see this for the people gathered around Peter after the healing of this man in our book of Acts, and how they are all wondering how this occurred. They have missed out on who Jesus is, as Peter will remind them. We also hear about this for the whole world. The reason the world does not know that we are children of God is that it didn't recognize Christ as the Son of God. Since we could not see who Jesus was, they do not know who we are as Christ's followers. And we recognize in these readings as they go on that not recognizing who Jesus is leads us to some significant challenges. This is what we see being clearly articulated in our first reading by Peter to those gathered in Jerusalem. They have to hear these hard words that tell them that they rejected the holy and righteous one, that they demanded the death of the author and giver of life. That to accept this reality would be heartbreaking, devastating. We don't want to contribute to evil in this world. We certainly don't want to work against God and against the life God would seek to bring. And so odds are good that the people would have pushed back against Peter in this narrative. They would have wanted to say, but we didn't kill the author and giver of life. We didn't destroy the holy and righteous one and demand a murderer to be set free. What we chose was one who had killed others in order to be set free so that a blasphemer might die. So we might value God's perspective and God's viewpoint more than the things that this world might do. And so we thought we were doing a good thing. We are not wrong. And maybe they would have accepted that they had erred, that it was incorrect to crucify Jesus. And maybe they'd want to further distance themselves by saying, but it was actually the Romans who killed Jesus. Pilate was ultimately the one who handed him over. It was Roman soldiers who drove the nails in. It was a Roman practice of crucifixion, that this isn't how Hebrews or people of Israel would have killed anyone. It was the Romans' fault. They might want to make that argument. And yet Peter cuts it all away, lays it bare. No, Jesus was handed over by the people of Israel, by the leadership in Jerusalem, that we have to own the ways in which we have strayed. But Peter also acknowledges that this was done in ignorance. They didn't understand who Jesus was. They didn't recognize Christ's presence as this author and giver of life. And that is what allowed them to do this awful and terrible thing. And indeed, this is what continues to allow awful and terrible things to happen. I think this is what our reading from 1 John gets at as well, that when we fail to recognize Christ, when we fail to see the light of the world, we are living in darkness. We are contributing to sin, that we hear these hard words that say to us, all those who have not seen Jesus or abide in him commit sin. And we might want to, like the people of Israel, want to push back on that and say, but we have seen Jesus, but we do abide in Christ, and yet we also know that we have sinned. And this was what we heard last week. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we may not want to acknowledge that we have failed to see Christ, that we have failed to abide in Christ, and yet this is the source of the sin, brokenness, and darkness of the world, and these failures. That we do not recognize who Christ is or what Christ is up to from day to day. And yet we are not the only ones who fail to see this. Even those in our readings have failed to see this as well. Peter himself was one who recognized Jesus as the Messiah, who followed after him as a disciple, who in this moment, as he's going to the cross, as he's already committed to saying that, yes, I will follow Jesus no matter what, as Jesus makes his way there, ends up denying that he even knows Jesus. A hard thing to be reminded of, for sure, to be Peter, but a reminder also to us that even us who know who Jesus is and seek to follow him can at a given moment not fully understand what Jesus is accomplishing, not fully understand who Jesus is, and in turn shy back ourselves. away from following where Christ might lead us. We see this going on for the disciples today as well. As they are standing, they are literally talking about the resurrection in Luke's gospel. Those who have been on the road to Emmaus have come back and shared with them the good news that they encountered Christ on the road. And those gathered there say, yes, and he has also appeared to Peter. As they are celebrating the fact that Jesus is raised, Jesus stands before them, and they do not recognize him. They are startled and think it is a ghost. And Jesus has to call them back to say, no, no, it truly is me. A reminder to us that even when we have seen Jesus, even when we know the good news of the resurrection, Jesus can come and stand right before us and we will miss it. And it's when we miss Christ's presence permeating our lives in this world that we find ourselves in darkness and that we discover that we will sin. Now, what we have to recognize today, as our reading from 1 John reminds us, is that our past ability to recognize Christ's presence does not mean that we will presently live righteously. This is a continual process that if we could see perfectly the light of Christ shining in our lives and be fully aware of God's presence and know that we abided in Christ every single second of our lives, we would be living as children of God, walking righteous paths. But our problem is that we do not do this. We do not always recognize Christ as clearly, just as the disciples didn't, just as Peter didn't. And this is what then leads us back into that darkness, back into sin. But the good news that we see today is that Jesus, just like last week, is working to overcome this separation. Jesus is working to find ways to help us recognize who he is. And Jesus stands in the midst of the disciples and tells them, it is I. Look at my hands, at my feet. See that I have bone and flesh. I am not a ghost, as you might suppose. It is me, your resurrected Lord, who stands before you. Jesus eats this piece of fish so that they know it's true. He is not a ghost. It doesn't just pass straight through him. Because Jesus wants them to know and to believe that it is truly him, to recognize his presence. And in doing so, he shares with them what they are to share with others. Because of the power of the resurrection, because of who Jesus is, they are given a task. They are to bear witness to what they have seen, and they are to proclaim the forgiveness of sins throughout the world. Having the light of God shine into their lives, they are have their minds open to understanding the scriptures, to seeing the whole story of God, of understanding who Jesus is as the Messiah who suffered and died that we might know life, to understand the forgiveness of sins that is to be pronounced in Christ's name. That is the message we have to share. That this light does not seek to destroy us because of our darkness, but instead seeks to purify us, refine us, driving out our darkness and helping us walk in newness of life. This is the good news that the disciples must bear witness to. This is the good news that Peter himself bears witness to in Jerusalem. That as he lays bare the people's sin and the ways they failed to recognize Christ, he shares with them that there is the possibility for the forgiveness of sins offered in the name of Christ. Repent and believe in what God has done, and your sins will be removed. Can the people trust this? If we could believe that Jesus was the author and giver of life, and that we had demanded his death, could we believe truly that he would offer us forgiveness? Do we truly trust this message that Peter proclaimed? Maybe if we knew Peter's whole story, we'd be more willing to. If Peter, who confessed that Jesus was the Messiah and sought to follow him in his daily life and yet retreated from that, denied Christ at the end and left and abandoned his friend at the cross, if Peter can receive forgiveness, be restored in this community, and have the name of Christ shared with him in such a way that he can produce these awesome and amazing healings, certainly we, who murdered Christ in ignorance, might be able to receive such forgiveness. So this is what the people are invited to trust today. This is what we are invited to trust today as well. That somehow a resurrected Lord means that there is forgiveness of sin for us as well, that we are invited to know the light and love of God. And that somehow this transforms us, that not just is our sin removed, but we are now changed to walk in a newness of life, to know that we are named and claimed as God's own children, to be holy and righteous just as Christ was too. How is that possible, knowing how often we struggle? Well, this is the good news that we hear in our reading from 1 John, that as we see Christ, we will become like him. That somehow just by recognizing Christ's presence in our midst changes us, transforms us to become the children of God we were called to be, to live in the light of God's presence and to be holy and righteous as Christ is. We might wonder, how is it possible that this would occur just by seeing Christ and being attentive to Christ's presence in our midst? Well, our reading from Acts, I think, gives us a way to begin to approach the answer to that question. We hear that it is in the name of Jesus and in belief in that name only that a man is restored to perfect health who has been lame, who has been maimed since birth. And if the name of Jesus has such power behind it, as we believe in who Jesus is, that we can be restored to perfect physical health, we are to recognize that as we who believe in who Christ is see Jesus, this Son of God who is raised to new life for us, we might be transformed into a newness of life that we could never have imagined or expected prior to this moment. And our goal then is to be ever attentive to Christ's inbreaking presence in our lives, to be ever attentive of the way in which Christ is coming to us in our neighbor and in this world, to see Jesus all around us so that we might ever abide in Christ and from each present moment live and walk in the newness of life that Christ is extending to us. A difficult thing, to be sure. If we could do this, we would know what it was like to live as children of God. And so we have Christ crashing into our day today, continuing to help us see this inbreaking presence, continuing to help us know the truth of the resurrection and to see Christ more clearly. Here in this meal that we share, in this bread and wine, we encounter Christ's own body and blood before us. Here Jesus invites us to again reach out and touch and see that this is Christ's own body and blood given and shed for us, for you, that the proclamation of the forgiveness of sins might be made. That here in this meal we know and encounter the grace and loving kindness of God revealed to us through this presence of Christ. And as we look to this presence, we find ourselves transformed, our sin is removed, and we are strengthened and nourished to face the day, the week ahead. That as we take Christ into us, we know that we are taken into Christ, that we might continue to abide in Christ and live as children of God. It is from this perspective, rooted in the light and love of God revealed in Christ, that we can carry out our mission in this world to celebrate and share the love of Christ, that we can carry out Christ's command to us to bear witness to what we have seen and experienced and to proclaim the forgiveness of sins to a world that desperately needs the mercy and grace of God. And for this amazing good news, for this gift of God's presence and the gift of Christ consistently being made known to us and revealed to us in the breaking of the bread, for such a gift as this, all we can say is Alleluia. Thanks be to God. Amen.